of some people like that were actually not only being inefficient, but trying to foul things up.
Deliberately trying to foul things up in the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not surprised. It wasn't a specific charge, but the point is, as far as the students are going, it doesn't make any difference really what's being done in the wheels. As far as the students know, the only thing that's happening is that these grievances aren't being settled, but that these procedures are being begun.
Mm-hmm.
They're being referred to Committee A, and now the main grievances on this procedure, there's several. First of all, the civil charge of mob action is like sort of in the army conduct on becoming an officer, completely.
Yeah.
The kind of charge that you can make on anything, completely arbitrary. As far as the university business goes, the procedure is wrong on several counts. First of all, it's not the open hearing, closed hearing always being given as a student protection.
Yeah, yeah.
Is apparently, I think after one of the outcomes of the meeting, that's going to be openly challenged by the black students in the DI.
Yeah, okay.
With an ad,
mm-hmm.
saying that these students don't want closed hearing. So
mm-hmm.
the open hearing and then due process, the idea if there were an open hearing still wouldn't be good because you have to have challenging of evidence, etc.
Yes, okay.
And furthermore the business of the university lawyer, whatever he is, the counsel is the legal sort of the judge and the prosecuting attorney.
Mm-hmm.
This has an awful lot of weight on the referral committee.
Mm-hmm.
Too. So now the added grievances are the civil charge of mob action and B, the forum in which university disciplinary things come up, which apparently was an issue last year on some other.
Yes, the Dow demonstration.
Yeah. So now the total grievances are these two things plus the fact that the two original money and work grievances, nothing is being done.
Yeah.
And
okay, I want to ask you a question. Was physical violence by people on people ever mentioned? In other words, did anybody mention that there were assaults also Monday night? Did you know, for example, that one white kid was smashed over the head with a chair at the back of the union and had a severe cut?
No,
so,
it wasn't mentioned.
All right, well, let me tell you, there were three separate cases of assault by black students on white people in the course of the evening. One as early as 8:40. Involving three white students simply walking across the back of the unit, apparently unprovoked attack, and one around one when white people had been told to leave, that it was only for blacks now, and some of them were a little bit slow about doing that, and apparently were beaten up by a bunch of other people.
You can't tell about the earlier ones. You can't tell. I mean, there are a lot of North.
Oh yeah,
blacks
absolutely.
Hang around.
I, I'm just saying that there was physical violence at the union Monday night. It didn't get mentioned today at the SDS meeting.
No.
No. Okay. Now the other thing is the reasons for the gathering are, that's a point of information which you may be able to use. The fact of the matter is there were two different meetings on Monday night which grew into this thing that happened. One of them was indeed over the housing. It was over at the residence hall, involved mostly the kids in the program. There was also a meeting of the Black Students Association augmented by local people, and those two meetings fused at around 8 and then moved to the union. So that the evening did begin over housing. I think, I don't know just what the rhetoric was between 8 and midnight, but the administration had been called out for the meeting at the residence hall, and so in their minds it was a housing problem. I think that after the thing assembled at the union, the money came up.
I suspected that, in fact, the money issue might have come up, even this wasn't clear.
Yeah.
And it probably isn't even clear in the heads of the people that are interested.
That's it. It's all rather confused how it all began.
But it's clear that these are legitimate grievances.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's just that the administration may not have realized that it was dealing with the money problem, or anyway, certain elements of the administration may not have realized that was the core of what was keeping the crowd together until rather late in the evening, because the crowd assembled, and in fact had been predicted that this showdown with the housing division had been set for 7 o'clock. Housing division came out for it, presented what they had as a package. They had come up with rooms, The rooms were not satisfactory. This package was rejected, and that began it. You see, so in the minds of everybody who was a participant from the administration side, it was over housing. I think that they should have known, some of them, somewhere, at least in the financial aids area and in admissions, that there had been money problems that had been emerging all the previous week. That there's certainly a discrepancy between what they were planning to give the kids and what the kids were expecting. This should have been emerging, but I don't know that the actors on the administration side knew until rather late in the evening that had become the central demand of the crowd. And I'm afraid we didn't even know.
It was at that time.
I think it was, but I see we didn't even know that. We white radicals, so to speak, didn't even know that at 2 in the morning. Here's the thing that we put together at 4 or 5 in the morning from the black kids and from people who've been present trying to say what had happened and why. And it all is made out to be over the housing thing. I think I don't believe we make any mention of money. It's just possible that we do somewhere. Oh, yes, press for clarification of the financial situation. We do have, in the meantime, other students were becoming increasingly upset over some of their financial arrangements, finding that they had to take jobs although they understood they would be free to concentrate on intensive remedial work. So we got it in, but we didn't really find this out, I think, until early in the morning hours after it was all over. So just interesting to note that basically no one planned a demonstration over money. In fact, I don't know if anybody really planned a demonstration. There's evidence that they assembled on the south portico of the Union and expected simply to wait there for somebody from the administration to come, and they only went indoors. They didn't plan a sit-in. They planned a demonstration. They never planned to sit in. They only went indoors when it rained. You know, so the motivation, that making it look as if it were a long-range, motivated, planned-out thing is just simply not accurate. It'd be useful for you to know that something is being done about the money. As fast as possible, in fact. There is a lack of money somewhere between $80,000 and $125,000. This much will be required to reduce all those loans to the $470 level. The point is that, in a way, there's no great immediacy there, because the kid's getting all the money anyway. He's getting it in the form of a loan. There is certainly determination on the part of the university to replace loans with grants, but we've got some months to do that. It isn't as if they'll be out of pocket at the moment. In other words, I think that we could, although we have not, to my knowledge, we being the university to the kid, we could at this point make a commitment to reduce those loans to that figure. And I think we'd be able to fulfill it. But up to this point, we haven't done that. The point is there's a lot of time left. I know for a fact that the plans are being laid to go to the legislature. This was the second year.
If that's done, the work thing will be done too.
Yeah, the work thing may be already settled now. In fact, this is something that's probably worth checking.
But could I ask who you are?
Yeah, Bill Brooks. That's just a parenthetical comment there, David.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your use of the pronoun we.
I know. This is a problem I have.
Keep shifting.
Well, I'm we. I identify with almost any group that I have anything to do with. The Barker family is we when I'm there. I'm we with my own family. I'm we with my high school, with Harvard, with the University of Illinois, with radicals at the University of Illinois, also with the administration. I mean, I feel enough a part of the university community that I feel, in a way, it's the community that made a commitment to these kids. So
I was just mentioning that in light of our earlier conversation.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. I have a problem like that. I'm able to stand up in front of a crowd and say we as if I were Dean Millett's right-hand man. It's a tactical error, but it's been a problem for a long time.
Well, what's your role?
I'm just a graduate student.
Yeah. Besides that, we're trying to keep these things off the tape. It's fairly safe since I own it, but still.
Bruce was there this afternoon. He was there not as a representative of GSA.
Made that clear, yeah. Monday morning I will check and see. I bet by now we've gotten rid of all those jobs. Be willing to bet that. For one thing, there were no more than 60 kids who were in the job bag, and I personally went over and checked out the Martin Luther King Fund and found that the University Foundation had given the financial aid's office a figure that was 2 months old, and that an additional $4,500 had come into the fund in that time. Well, that's 20 kids, $200 each, so that could help a lot. That and the fact that the financial aid office was preparing financial aid packages for a large number of students who didn't come. So the minute they locate the fact that a kid isn't here, they're able to move money from his package over to someone else's.
There was a general feeling that that Pelterson's tactic, there was a general feeling that in the community as a whole, university community as a whole, you probably would get a majority as people against the program, probably even against having the program. In other words, that there's a lot more latent racism in the typical fraternity and sorority than the average well-meaning liberal might even suspect.
There was a professor here yesterday talking to me from Alabama, and he said that in Alabama, Champaign had the reputation as the town where you sent a black guy who was monopoly if you want to get him hung. That the lynchings in Champaign, this is even as recent as 1946 and 7, right after the war, were well-known throughout the South. And I know from other testimony from faculty members who were here on the campus at that time that this was an extremely racist place. The black man could not be served in any decent restaurant in Champaign-Urbana in 1948.
Well, the feeling, though, was that besides this racist feeling in the university community as a whole, that Pelterson himself actually was sort of almost defining himself, at least for the moment, in terms of trying to salvage, in some sense, this program. but that his tactic, being a typical liberal tactic, was that they could never find the 11 guys that actually did the damage. They never rat on each other, all in all, but that it would look about right. You could save the program by finding 11 agitators, leaders, or whatever they consider, and Culleson would have these 11 kicked out, and then the rest gracefully forgiven. This way he looks like a benevolent in one sense, and later on, if he wants to become more repressive or whatever, people can say, look how easy they got off, only 11.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And on the other hand, he can pacify. He did kick somebody out.
Yeah.
But you see, the BSA really has got a quite militant position. I don't think they're going to. There may be more people than the 11 may leave in sympathy, which would might satisfy the racists, but wouldn't satisfy Pelteson.
Yeah. So the assumptions then were that you couldn't really find the guilty people, but that pressure was sufficient on Pelteson, so that he would be inclined to basically sacrifice 11 leaders. Who were plausible for inciting, if not for actually doing the riot? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is about the level of confidence to which he has sunk. I mean, the SDS meeting then simply reflects the kinds of things I've been hearing for several days. I have to say that personally, I have a hell of a lot more faith in him than that, and I not only have faith in him, but I know that there are other people who know what happened there that night who are going to come forth with mitigating evidence on anybody that he would try to frame who would be in that category. In other words. Dorm counselors.
I suggested one thing at the meeting, and that was that Pelteson wasn't sounding like total evil or anything, at least compared to some others around. And I suggested that he's got a lot of pressure on him, and he might actually be willing to, especially if this was all that the black students wanted open hearings, he might be willing to actually come in on the side of an open hearing question so that it would become clear that the university wasn't being softy on all these people, that it would become clear that the evidence was actually very scanty.
Right, very good. Yes, I think this is the fact. I think the evidence actually is scanty, and we can go ahead and have all of the most severe procedural things go through, and I think they'll still be let off. I don't think there's going to be much grounds for doing anything to the majority.
Well,
of
I don't know. I mean, they could still go through the sacrificial business, but if you see,
he'd be a lot harder. Yeah.
Pelteson might be, if you could get open hearings.
Yeah.
Pelteson might, if he's actually sort of a liberal guy in one sense. I mean, he might be willing to have this to show that it was just a question of press exaggeration and not a question of him being soft on
good,
the militants.
Yeah. I felt that from the start because it was, in fact, that's the truth, you see. It was press exaggeration.
What is,
and what
is the potential for opening hearings? What is necessary to have the hearings opened? Is there any precedent that you know?
I really don't know much
about
that.
Well, the defense of a closed hearing has always been that students...
No, I know
that.
I'm asking
whether
there's any precedent in university history.
Yeah, I will just have to look into the statutes and into the precedents, but I think this is worth looking at. If you think open hearings would be very salutary,
well,
there's
a lot of feeling for that specific thing.
Open hearings would be very good. Well, let's pursue that.
This is for Subcommittee A,
when
they have the six members in the university defense or the university prosecuting council or whatever it is.
Well, I do want to reassure you on the money. I am personally working on a committee of just interested faculty members who intend to roll money out of corporations.
Well, money seems probably to come. But the real hang-ups always come in all these things is,
Who's bringing it in, you mean?
You know, who's got the final say, about things like who stays and, things like amnesty and things like that always tend to be the biggest hang-ups in the long run.
Well, I think that I can, that unless the chancellor is double-crossing me, I don't know, I can't make a statement like that, but I have a very good understanding, I think, of what his position is, and it is this, that if he knows who broke those chairs and who beat those people up, he will throw the book at them. But that if he doesn't know who did it, he is not about to frame anybody. Simply implicitly. I mean, I've never been told that he wouldn't frame anybody by anyone close to him, by him, or anything else, but I think it was made very clear to me that the administration's position, his personal position, would be that people who break furniture and who beat people up under no circumstances should be allowed to go free if we know who they are. No matter what that does, I mean, he's just standing on that as a moral absolute. It's been pointed out by some people, for example, that if it were should turn out that people from the North End are the ones who did the damage, and they're the ones who burned for it, and none of the kids do, that might introduce fantastic tensions between the North End community and the university. We might have more students than ever beaten up and things like that. In the face of that, he is still convinced that You never get anywhere by appeasing people, that the North End is perfectly well aware of the fact that it has bad eggs just like any other community, and that the only viable alternative is to toss these kids in the hooscow if you can find the ones who did it.
Yeah, okay. But you know, that I mean, I can't agree with a position like that. But
okay, well, I think that is his position.
I mean, you can imagine what the argument against the position would. I mean, you know, after all these kids, when you have a certain grievance, and as far as
yeah.
you know, nothing is being done.
Yeah, but the point is,
these
were non-students. They had nothing to do with this grievance.
Well, now, you don't know who...
Yeah, but we do. I mean, put it this way, there is a reasonable likelihood that the people who broke up the furniture and assaulted the people were non-students. There has been, you know, maybe you don't know.
Okay,
this.
But now
for
in an open hearing,
yeah.
in other words, if pressure can be brought in such a way that these hearings are as open as possible.
Yes.
And so you have nearly a courtroom situation. Is the evidence as to who is this going to be plausible? I mean,
I think so. You'll remember that the last 2 days we've had warrants issued for 18 more people to be arrested on that mob action charge, and every one of them is a non-student.
Yeah.
No, think about that.
Well,
all I'm saying is I think it would.
There were some other statements though made with that. You know, like more charges will be pressed against them. More charges will be pressed against. Just sounded like a general repressive measure. That's how that thing.
I know it
on.
Sounded that way, but I mean, I tell you what I think's the truth. I mean, you know, you see, everyone is viewing this through very political eyeglasses. I'm simply saying I think I know what happened, and I think I know what's going on. And if I'm right, it's that the damage was done by non-students, and that we are now finding out who they were.
And that these 18 are the ones that are being high suspects.
That's correct, yes. I mean, there's not really much other point. If the chancellor, you see, if that isn't the truth, then it all looks very grim, because if he feels it's useful dragging in still another bunch of people on that mob action charge, it must
then
be...
Then it looks like a general repression.
That's right, absolutely. And I don't think that's the case at all. But you're right, I mean, you've made it very clear to me. I hadn't really thought it through. I mean, it was just so obvious to me what it was, I didn't realize how it was being
viewed.
Yeah,
well, that's how the general view of
what
that is.
Yeah, generally repressive. Okay, there would be no point in dragging them in if you were then going to go ahead and have the charge dismissed later, right? So
that's what everybody's
is,
saying, too.
Right, okay, so it looks very much as if he's going to press the mob
action. Especially when
charge.
It was said in the paper, see, that the prosecuting attorney or whatever around here said that further charges would probably be brought against those already indicted, namely the students.
Yeah.
That's said in the same sentence... You don't get that the balance of blame is being shifted, but that that you're just sort of increasing the blame.
Well, I think on the other hand, of course, they're under some restraint not to give away their prejudice their cases in advance. You know, I mean, to come out and say these 18 are guilty and we're going to let the others off is basically to not give them any trial. I don't know what he meant by that. I'm not at all clear on this. There may be something going on I don't know anything about, but from the kids, I talked to black kids and to white people in the union, and their observations were that we have had trouble at the union, you know, for over a year, because black people have wanted in it. The union is about the only place that a black kid can go in Champaign and Urbana and enjoy things like bowling and pool and snacks and the whole rest of it.
Well,
and
so he should be able to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, there has been, I haven't been the sweetest kids in the world. There have been an increasing series of incidents of white people being beat up in and around the union now for something like 2 years. In fact, if you were to plot it, it's a rather disturbing graph. And there was an effort last year made by some people to close the union to all non-students on the grounds that it was becoming unsafe for students to be in there. And with some debate, that was defeated, and the blacks were permanently established in the union. But and in fact, this summer went off very well. They made use of a lot of university papers with very little difficulty. However, there have always been a bunch of, there is one gang, I mean, I know this from long-standing rumor, and I know people have been beaten up by them, but there's one gang of guys in the North End who just come down here and pick out students and beat them unmercifully. I know a kid who had a whole half of his face smashed in, simply riding his bicycle along Green Street. He got caught at the corner of 5th and Green, knocked off his bicycle, and was kicked and beaten unmercifully. Now, that same gang has been operating for a long time, and the police told him that they know who they are, but they can't get any evidence on him. The police were quite convinced that it was a small handful of people who were doing all these assaults. Now, you see, there's just a chance, in my mind anyway, and apparently in the minds of some other people, that a similar thing happened at the union last Monday night. It may not be true.
What the BSA's attitude would be to it.
Well, there's a real problem, because as you yourself pointed out, there was a quota of local students who are supposed to end up in this program, and there is some tension at the moment between people in the community and people in the Black Students Program who are perceived as being kind of middle-class Negroes on the rise, you know, turning and subbing their noses at the real people living here in Champaign-Urbana. The university kind of stinks in certain quarters north end for not having taken in that quota. Maybe the local people, the campus groups like SDS and the Black Students Association and so on, are not pressing the local quota bit, but apparently the local people are, for obvious reasons. So the BSA is somewhat concerned that even if it's true that local people were the ones who did the damage, I've detected that there is some concern that if that were to come out, that strain put upon BSA, black upon black, basically, would be very severe, and they would like to avoid that. In other words, the BSA is opting for the perfect solution, which is that no one ever be brought to trial for the assaults on people and furniture, and that everyone else be let off with the minimum punishment. But it's not obvious that the situation will allow that. The BSA wants that for a number of reasons. They don't even want the guilty people brought in.
Well, I mean, you give an entirely different picture as far as the determinability of people, you know, having taken or having done
things. Yeah, it's been an automatic assumption, basically, of Morrison and of the GSA, and who was the guy from GSA who spoke today, and of Berkey and of Addison, that it would be impossible to identify those who did the damage.
Oh, they all look alike.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. The problem is that they don't look alike after you know them, and some of them are rather well known for previous run-ins, and we do have white union employees who observed the violence. And we also have people who were attacked, and they know who attacked them. And in fact, the sad from the point of view of the prosecutor thing, is that apparently kids who were beaten up have sat down within the last, in fact, I believe they sat down a week ago Saturday with the people who beat them up. And they had it out. And it was a great mystical experience for both sides, apparently. And now the white kids who were attacked are not going to press charges. But not only do we know who did it, we have had a confrontation between who did it and who it was done to. Which is a beautiful thing.
But are you sure about that?
That was my understanding of the meeting last Saturday.
It's by no means clear to me that those...
That the ones who met with Hackman are precisely the ones who beat him up?
That the ones who met with him are precisely the ones who beat him up, okay. By any means.
All right. This was the impression I'd been given. They apparently know anyway. I thought that was it. Maybe wrong. Anyway, the point is Hackman, I think, is in a position to identify.
Let's put it this way. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Maybe that was a mutual understanding that was never stated explicitly to me.
Okay. All right. Well, I need to know more about that meeting. I mean, I don't know. This was my understanding of it. It may not be good. It was certainly third hand. It's nothing very direct. Hackman and Shupak, you know, I know Shupak knows that he could identify the people, but he considers that, you know, he's got this kind of every Negro is an angel gone wrong, and that we can't have any of them ever go to jail for anything thing. And, you know, it's a viable position, damn it. Society has kind of shat upon them. But the thing is, he thinks he could identify the people, but will not.
Yeah, I think that's
the point is, there are people who know people who did things. They exist. Whether or not they will testify is another matter, but it isn't obvious that they couldn't. I don't know what I want to have happen.
There was some question today. Would some black students, in the BSA, or just some of the sort of non-furniture breaking oriented black students, tell on the other ones, on people that did break things? And the feeling was that from the reliable sources, namely Addison and the other black guy that was at the meeting, that was pretty much feeling solidarity.
Who was that? Do you know? Is that John Lee Johnson?
I don't think so. Well, I'll have this to say. Addison certainly has reasons to wish to represent the BSA that way. But it isn't apparent that the 500 students feel that the BSA represents them, for one thing. And I know at least one black student in that 500 program who both knows who did it and wouldn't mind telling.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing that...
Because this kid has been down here for the last three summers on the Upward Bound program, and he has been harassed that entire time by black kids from the North End who are not in Upward Bound. And he's had his fill, basically, of those guys both rapping around him. He wants the education. He's just pissed. So Addison represents the BSA.
And yet, probably when it's recorded is one.
Tell me whenever you're recording, I'll just say over and over again, for God, for country, and for you.
That would go.
Yeah, I want to be a conservative.
Yeah. Don't you think that this is true? I'm always surprised that when I hear myself on a tape and think it's a story, but it's actually my sound inside my head of you is different from what it really is.
Well, sometimes you find that the tape recording machine leaves out all your low frequencies and sticks you only the highs, and that makes you sound pretty busy. But actually, it's some...
I sounded very low.
I was going to say, you sounded low. I think this is a good thing, cutting out the other end. Well, you want to say something about God, country, and Yale over there?
Please do.
For God, for country, and for Yale. But you're Dartmouth. That's right. Well, let's see what it says.
Oh, okay.
In such a way that knowing...
Then moved northeast up the shore a mile and took another slightly smaller off the mountain of Blackwater Creek. Do you know those places?
No.
And it didn't say anything about whether his son was not. Now, a tradition of sorts having been established, it seemed altogether logical that if it was the night before Steve was married, that I accept either a duck hunting or a fishing invitation for the following morning, provided, of course, that I arrive back home and find a clean up for the wedding. By general persuasion and subtle innuendo, however, the women involved in the affair, including my wife, convinced me that there might be something useful the following the groom could do on a faithful day, particularly since the rain was such a machine, although she is calm. Unexpectedly, the decision to remain at home on the wedding day proved wise in two ways. There were little chores I was able to perform, like taking cotton for the contained rain places to the dump, placing two window shades that my wife suddenly felt were a bit shabby. And Bob Morgan, the man with whom I might have gone hunting, shot no duck. And Richard Hull, uncle of the bride, with whom I might have gone fishing, caught no snapper, for he can fish with great time. Richard did discover by talking to other fishermen that snappers were still on the farm. This interested me greatly. I wondered if some of the reasons for that meeting was such ever before the opening, connecting the pond to the ocean and closed. And she's beautiful. And she's on Channel 4 News. You know, so-and-so is on the spot with the music.
Oh,
well. You know the one.
Oh, damn, they're beautiful.
Oh, yes. One you love.
Well, I love them all, dear.
I've forgotten the name, but I'll sound just like.
Well, I think one of the, these aren't really made to be used at a great distance like that. And as you aim it at you and then turn it away, I think you'll discover that the high frequencies disappear. That as the more that you're aiming right into it, as I am right now, the more you hear it, you sound like yourself. The more you turn it away from you, the way I have it right now, the less it sounds like you. That would be my guess. Now, I have that one over beside you, so I suspect there's something that might sound like that.
I now have an opinion, and those people who formerly only had an opinion, you know, now have a more strong opinion. I mean, this is what I sense, and
you know a lot more people than I do.
Yeah, I probably do, but I'm just curious as to what. What's
well, I had a feeling. Well, there's going to be a rally Wednesday, you know.
Yeah.
And BSA is supporting it now. First day, we're thought. Addison said that first day thought they were in sort of. Well. I'll say mystical communication with the administration, and that they shouldn't support such open things because maybe something would happen. But he said, as far as he can see, the Committee A business is going on full tilt, and they're going to support open action like that. And I think a lot depends, as far as the effect of support for the 500 students. I'd say it turns a lot around that rally.
Sure, guys.
That rally. And
what is the rally? Is the rally in support of the 500 program? Or
well,
is
the five demands that I gave already. Money, jobs, open hearings, due process, and drop the civil mob action charges.
Mm.
Those are the five demands, at least, as they were put up then. Now, but I got a feeling that, I mean, that thing will galvanize the left or whatever on the campus if it's a successful thing, and there's a lot of people that want it to be and are working for it. But I've been to SDS meetings before, and I mean, I don't mean to say they're all the same. I mean, I was at one that was before the Dow Chemical demonstration at MIT, which was a very successful thing in terms of civil public relations and everything else and making an effect. The amount of people out there were about the same, and the attitude, the general militancy or determination to make this on the part of everybody, not on the part of leaders, 10 or 15 active types, but on the part of the whole 100 people that were there, so it wasn't nearly as strong as I could have wished it. So I have a feeling that rally may not make it.
Yeah.
I'd say there's
about
it.
Possible.
Yeah. I mean, there'd be a rally, but whether it actually, you know, gets like 1,000 people or 1,500 people.
Well, how do you feel about this fifth thing, the dropping of the civil charges?
Well, I think it's a good demand because mob action is too general a charge. I mean, it's the kind of thing that you can
charge any.
I don't think it's a.
Have you read the statute?
No, but.
Okay, I have the statute. I don't have it here. There are three sections in it, and they're charged under a couple of sections which are much less serious than they could be. They're charged under something fairly minor, frankly.
Is it a felony?
No, and not at all. It's a misdemeanor. Yeah. They're being charged as a misdemeanor. It could have been a felony. There's there's a way you can charge mob action as a felony, but it was.
Well, it sounds like an illegitimate charge to me. I mean, it should be deleted from the code in my mind.
No,
I mean,
it was just put
like
in. It was just the whole business was just passed apparently.